Masechtos Maaseh Sheni, Perek Hey, Mishnah Aleph. The first five Mishnayos in this Perek discuss the halachos of Revai. Revai is the fourth year of the fruit growth of a tree. A tree, when it's planted for the first 3 years, is Arla, and we don't eat from the fruits. They are forbidden to benefit from them. The fourth year is Revai, and Revai is special halachos, which are not directly have anything to do with Maaseh Sheni, but the halachas are very similar to Maaseh Sheni. The fruit have to be brought to Yerushalayim, and they can be redeemed outside Yerushalayim, and the money can be brought, and the halachas are learned one from another, and therefore the halachas of Revai are discussed in Maseches Maaseh Sheni. So the first Mishnah discusses the marking of different trees, so a person should be able to keep track. So it should be clearly marked which trees are Arla, which trees are Revai, in order that somebody shouldn't come to eat from a tree, Arla or Revai, outside Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah says, Karam Revai. If there was a vineyard that was Revai, it was the fourth year of growth, and the fruit is supposed to be brought to Yerushalayim. Mitzayin and Isai, they would mark it b'kaizaz Isadama, with clumps of dirt. They would pile up clumps of dirt as a sign that this vineyard is Revai, and so that no one would come and eat from it over here. Vishal Arla, and if they were Arla in the first 3 years of growth, Vicharsis, they would use clay to mark, a pile of clay to mark the Arla vineyard. And then a side thing over here, we mentioned Vishal Kvaras, when they wanted to mark the graves, and this was to prevent Kehanim from walking over a grave, because the Kehanim were not allowed to become Tame from the mace, the dead body underneath, and they would mark the graves. So they would mark the graves besid with this type of plaster called lime. Umamachet, they would mix it together with water, v'shefich, and they would pour it over the graves to mark it. So three different markers. The Rav explains why these markers were chosen. The clumps of dirt that have potential to grow and provide fruit, they represent the Revai, which it is possible to eat those fruit. They can be brought to Yerushalayim, or they can be redeemed. However, the clay, which you can't grow anything in clay, was used to represent as a sign for the Arla, which you're not allowed to benefit from. And the grave, which has bones buried there, they would use a white plaster, and they would mix it with the water, which would make it even whiter, to make a sign of the bones buried there. So this Tana, the first Tana, holds that there was a necessity to mark off these things to prevent a person from eating the produce early, and it wasn't for the owner. It was for a passerby that may come to eat from this, even though he's not allowed to eat. He's stealing someone's fruit. Still, the owner would do this to prevent someone from transgressing eating Arla or eating Revai outside Yerushalayim. However, Amar Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, only on the Shemitah year was it necessary to mark these markings, because on the Shemitah year, the produce was hefker. It was ownerless. Anybody can come in and eat. So then you need to protect other people from transgressing. But on a regular year that no one's allowed to take your produce, and it's a geneva, gzela, for someone to come and steal it, so the owner is not obligated to protect someone else from transgressing on his fruit who's going to come and steal his fruit. And he would not have to mark it for other people. However, the Mishnah says about tznuin, the tznuin, the modest ones, the people that were extra righteous and wanted to make sure that they didn't cause anyone else to transgress. So they, meinichin as hamois, they would put coins down, set them aside, v'aymrim, and they would say, kol nilkan mizeh, any produce that's picked here from the Revai, that someone comes and takes the Revai produce, yehei mechul al mois halalu, they should be redeemed onto this money, and that way nobody would be over eating Revai outside Yerushalayim, because whatever they picked automatically would be redeemed onto that money. Mishnah Beis. So generally, the Revai was able to be redeemed outside Yerushalayim, and the coins could be brought up to Yerushalayim, just like Maaseh Sheni. However, there is an exception. The Mishnah says, Karam Revai Hayo'ilu Yerushalayim. The Karam Revai, the fourth year vineyard, would have to be brought up to Yerushalayim, and they couldn't be redeemed. Mahalach Yemecha L'chol Tzad. If it grew within 1 day's travel from any direction around Yerushalayim. So if it was in close enough proximity to Yerushalayim, one day's travel, the Rabbanan decreed that one had to bring the actual produce in itself and not to redeem it onto money. And the Rav says this was the takana that was established in order to ensure that the markets would be filled with fruit in Yerushalayim. So within one day's travel, they required all the Ravai that it must be brought in, it can't be redeemed, and the money brought in. And the Mishnah lists different markers to know where this one day's travel was around Yerushalayim. Ve'ezu hi tchuma, where are the boundaries? Elas min Adarim, the city of Elas from the south. Ve'akarbas min Atzafen, Akarbas in the north. Lud min Amarav, Lud in the west. Ve'yardin min Amizrach, and the Yardin Jordan River on the east. These were the boundaries of this takana, that the produce there, the Ravai produce, had to be brought in itself to Yerushalayim. However, the Mishnah says, Misharabu appears, when the fruit became increased and the people, the farmers, had so much fruit and it was becoming too difficult for them to bring it all to Yerushalayim, then it wasn't necessary anymore to bring all the Ravai to Yerushalayim. So Hiskinu Shiyehei, Hiskinu Shiyehei Nifteh Samach L'chaimah. The Rabbanan, they made a takana that one was allowed to redeem these fruits even close to the wall, even if it was very close to Yerushalayim. They were allowed to transfer the Ravai onto a coin and bring the coin into Yerushalayim. However, Utnai Hayadavar, they made a condition in this. They made a condition, She'emesai She'yirtsu Yachzer Hadavar L'kamesh Haya, that whenever they would want, they would be able to revert back to the original takana. Meaning, if there was ever a need to boost the fruit in the marketplace in Yerushalayim, they can go and revert back to the original takana that anybody within one day's travel would have to bring their Ravai into Yerushalayim without redeeming it outside. That's the opinion of the first town in the Mishnah. He understands that when the fruit became plenty, that's where they started changing things, and they put in a condition that they could reinstitute the obligation to bring in the actual fruit whenever they want. However, Rabbi Yasi says that it really happened differently. Really, Mishichar Beis HaMikdash Haya Tanai Hazeh. This whole condition, the Tanai, the condition, and the way they edited the whole Takana, that all took place at the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Until the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, everybody one day's travel had to bring their produce to Yerushalayim. From the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash on, they allowed people to redeem their Ravai outside Yerushalayim, even right outside Yerushalayim. Utnai Haya. And the condition was, whenever the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, then it will revert to the original status of the Takana, and automatically, at the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the areas around Yerushalayim are going to have to bring in the actual produce of Ravai into Yerushalayim.